Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Let's begin our study today, a continuation of what we have been discussing on the matter of the force of faith by reading from the book 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, because it's a story that we all know, so what I will give us is mostly a summary, and then I'll highlight some points as we go on. Now, in 1 Kings, we read the story of how Elijah said to the king, Ahab. Elijah was a prophet, and he said to him, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." Now, it happened exactly as Elijah said. So famine came upon the land, and there was a drought. And God, to preserve the life of Elijah, told him to go down to the brook Cherith. There God commanded that the ravens should feed him, and he was drinking water from the brook Cherith. And then afterward, the brook dried up. That's if you read down to verse 7, because there was no rain in the land. Now from verse 8, that's where my story really begins from. He said, "Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please give me a little water in a jar that I might drink." And as he was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." But she said to him, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go, do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first, and bring it to me. And afterward, you may make one for yourself and for your son." Quite a ridiculous thing to tell somebody, really. But then look at the next statement. He said, "I'm saying this because, thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth." Now, verse 15 says, "This woman did exactly as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days." The Bible says, "The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah." Now, we have been talking about this matter of the force of faith for a while. And like last time, I said I was going to begin to expound some issues concerning the life of the widow of Zarephath. And later on, I will add the issue of the life of Ruth, all right, the daughter-in-law to Naomi, who became the great-grandmother of David, who was an ancestor of Jesus Christ. Now, among the things that we have said in previous times, you know, we have been talking about this faith as a force. I laid my emphasis mostly on faith as a substance of a hope. That the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. That is, when a man has an expectation, it is because he has believed something. And that faith is what brought into his heart an expectation. That is, when Abraham said to God, "I am going to die childless," God said, "No, it will not be like that. But your wife Sarah will bear you a child." And that gave him an expectation. And he began to wait for that child. We said that somebody that doesn't have an expectation does not have a full measure of faith. The faith that just believes that something happened long ago is not the full faith, but that it's a faith that believes that something is going to happen. And that this thing that's going to happen is dependent upon our believing it. The Bible says in Romans, in Hebrews chapter 4, that the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in the hearts of those that heard it. That is, if God promises something and you don't actively lay hold of it by faith and have an expectation because of the faith with which you are holding on to what God has said, though God promised, it would not come to pass, and God would not have lied. It's just that the word preached did not profit you because it was not mixed with faith in your heart. Now, we've established that. The other thing we said is that there is a spirit of faith and there's an ability to believe. The same thing we're talking about. We read from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13, that Paul said that we, having the same spirit of faith, believe and we speak. And we said that Jesus was emphasizing that faith is a condition for receiving our requests or for receiving answers when we make requests of the Lord. That it wasn't really commanding the people to believe in Mark chapter 11. It was explaining the condition of receiving. That condition is called faith. That is, anything you can believe. The word is the ability to believe. If you can believe. In Mark chapter 9, he told that man, if you can believe, nothing shall be impossible to the man that believes. So what we have been talking about is the fact that we must build up our ability to believe. I remember I said that, please don't think that you can just wake up one morning and say, yesterday I did not have faith, today I'm going to have faith. It doesn't happen. Just like you cannot just walk to the gym and say, yesterday I was able to lift 50 pounds, today I'm going to lift 200 pounds. It doesn't work like that. You are just going to injure yourself. And a lot of people have injured themselves because they hear of somebody's example of faith. They really don't have the faith because, you see, something that appears like faith may not be real faith. In fact, anything that does not produce the result that was promised is not real faith. Because if it is real faith, it will most certainly produce. A lot of people act presumptuously. That is, God did it for Mr. ABC, therefore he can do it for me also. Yes, he can do it for you, but do you have faith? The faith to pull it out of God's hands. Now listen, the work of Christianity, like I said, is a walk. It's not a sprint. Don't just wake up one morning and run. You have a constant walk with God. Your faith will develop and you will know the level to which your faith has developed. You cannot build your actions upon the faith of somebody else. You build your actions upon your own faith. And if you don't deceive yourself, you will know what you can believe and what you can't believe. Let me just use this one too. I want to explain something. Alright? A story I read somewhere so that it will help us understand the meaning of this word, can believe. Alright, the ability to believe. Now, I know we read somewhere from the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to go back there, but I just want to give us a preview again, and where we stop, so that let's remember the things that we have discussed. But concerning this ability to believe, let me explain something. I heard a story once, I don't know how many of us who have studied the word of God will have read books by Kenneth E. Hagin, great American teacher and prophet, who died a few years ago. Now, the man believed God very strongly. He was taught faith by the Holy Spirit while he was a teenage boy on the bed of affliction. He was born with a congenital heart defect, and he had an incurable blood disorder, which, because of my own learning, I suspect was a leukemia of some sort. He probably had a chronic leukemia. That's the way, if you read the stories around the things that he said, that's what I could decipher. I didn't read his medical reports. I only got the layman's report from his own writings. Now, while he was there, he learnt the word of God enough to pray and become healed of a heart condition. He learned the word of God enough. He prayed and his faith was built up to the level where he received healing for his blood condition, and all the paralysis he had begun to suffer, he was healed of them absolutely one particular day. And even though symptoms of heart conditions tried to come back to him several times, he stood in faith and eventually he was perfectly whole. And he finally died at the age of about 88, having taught the word of God for over 60 years. He was a man of faith. Now, he married a woman who didn't go through his own kind of experience and didn't have the kind of learning that he had. Now, this was a man, he never needed doctor's attention for anything, apart from once when he fractured, he sprained his elbow and he had to have it in a cast. Anytime he would fall ill, he would pray, meditate on the word of God, and he will always get completely healed. When his children were small, what he would do anytime they are ill is that he would lay hands upon them and they will become healed. Now, I'm saying all of this to let us know the kind of man of faith that he was. Then one day, his wife developed a goiter. And the goiter was quite severe and it was actually choking her to death. And he prayed for her. The goiter didn't go away. I won't give you all the details of the story. But finally, he asked the woman, which is why I'm telling the story. He said, what can you believe? Now, let me say that again. He said, what can you believe? Now, that's one thing I want us to bear in mind. He asked her that question, what can you believe? And she said, I can believe that I will go through surgery safely. I can believe, because before then she had been afraid of surgery. She felt that if she went through surgery, she would die. All right? But then, after the husband had preached the word, taught her the word of God, and they had prayed together, he asked her simply, what can you believe? And he said, I can believe that I will go through surgery without dying on the surgery table. I can believe that I will make a quick recovery. I can believe that when the doctors remove the goiter, it will not come back. You know, I'm adding a few words to explain the point. And the man said, no problem. That's what we are going to ask for. Because that is what she could believe. So they joined their hands, they prayed. And it went according as they asked, because that was what she could believe. She went through surgery. She had no complications. She rose up. She came out. Her wounds healed very quickly. And she was discharged out of hospital early because she could believe that. But my emphasis is the word, what can you believe? Do you understand my point? Because Jesus said, anything that you can believe. He said, if you can believe, whatever you ask for, if you can believe that you have received, that's what he was saying. And what I'm emphasizing again is that ability to believe. Listen, we have to develop it as believers. As we walk every day, we increase our ability to believe by our walk with God. So in that line, I began to talk about what we can believe. That increasing the ability to believe, I said the fundamental thing about believing is the power of thanksgiving. The easiest thing to believe is that God is in charge of life generally. The easiest thing to believe is to recognize that God provided your food, even though you worked for it and you bought it with your money. But God is in charge and he allowed you the process of bringing food to your table. Jesus testified clearly that the people, the birds of the air that don't even think about it, God is the one that feeds them. So we cannot take it for granted that we have food to eat. So that thanksgiving is number one key, all right, to developing our faith, to constantly give God thanks. He said, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Now, in Christ Jesus. Now, the point we're making here is this, that's the fundamental thing about faith. And I said that greater faith, all right, there is a way by which it comes. And we said, reading from the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 6, that the Bible says, faith walks through love. And to emphasize that issue of faith walking through love is the reason why we read this story from 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, here was a woman, a widow. A widow means that she doesn't have somebody else providing for her. There's nobody to get up in the morning and go and walk so as to bring food to her table. She had a son. That is, whatever she can get as a woman is what she and her son will feed on. Now, a stranger, please listen to this. Let's forget this story now about what God told Elijah. Let us look at the story of the woman herself. She did not know God told Elijah anything. She was just going about her business and a stranger walked up to her because this was not the land of Israel. But the curse upon the land has spread to the neighboring lands. A stranger walked up to her and said, please, can I have some water? While she was trying to get this man water, the man decided to stretch the handshake beyond the elbow. Do you understand my point? And he began to ask for food. All right? The woman said, excuse me, sir, I would have given you food if I could, but I can't, so I won't, because the only food I have is just enough for me to begin to prepare now for my son and I. And the man said, go and make for me first. Why? He said, because thus says the Lord, the food that you are going to give me from will never finish, and that oil will never become empty. He said, go. And the woman went and did as he said. Now, listen to this. Either the woman was extremely gullible, or she knew something that we did not know. You know, I said that in that last time, that a lot of us these days, when we want to, especially we preachers, when we want to encourage people to give sacrificially, and you have read it in books, you have been to churches, you have seen it on TV, you've seen it, heard it on radio, whatever. What we are told all the time is this story of the widow of Zarephath, that if you give the last thing that you have to God, God will multiply it abundantly. Now, I like to say something here, that we speak as if the life of the widow of Zarephath started the day Elijah got to her door, when in reality, the woman had lived a life before Elijah got there. Let me pose this question across to you. Let us assume that this woman went out and told her neighbors a story. That look at it, I was almost broke completely. I was on the verge of dying of hunger, and then I took these actions, and then I never lacked again. Now, think about it in your heart. If her neighbors, the other people around her head, that's what happened, would they have received the same breakthrough if they had all come down to Elijah's house, that Elijah was living in her house this time, if they had all come down to her house and given to Elijah their last meals? Let me give you the obvious answer. The answer is no. The answer is no. And this is the reason. Let me say it clearly. The life of the widow of Zarephath did not start that day that Elijah got to her door. That day was the end of her work in the production of result. That was not the first day she started giving out to people. What I'm trying to emphasize here is this. We said we have to increase our ability to believe. I said something earlier. There's what we call the spirit of faith. And that is what prompts us. I said it's almost like an attitude of the heart. That's what prompts us to believe God even when it does not make sense. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's what prompts us to believe God even when it doesn't make sense. If you read the story of Abraham in the Bible, you will see that most of the experiences that Abraham had with God, there was nobody before him that had such experiences. Abraham had never heard of a woman that was barren for all her life, delivering as an old woman. Are you getting my point? Abraham had never heard of God being able to raise somebody from the dead before he took the action that was going to end in his killing of Isaac. Now, I'm trying to bring out something. There was a spirit of faith in him. Remember something I said last time? That Abraham did not have anybody preaching to him every day. A small word from God. He will have a vision from God, and without having any other vision for the next many years, he will be running in the power of that vision until God appears to him again. Why? Because he had the heart that believed. Now, is that heart that believes we are looking at? If you can believe. What happened to this woman, the widow of Zarephath? Somebody appeared at her door suddenly, and she could believe him. Listen, let's be pragmatic. Let's be practical. Let's talk about it in real sense. If a stranger walked to your door and spoke to you like that, the chances are that you will shut the door is in his face. I mean, what if he ate your food and the thing did not come to pass? You say, you wait, God will still come through. And he has eaten the food and the food is gone. Do you get my point? I mean, you reason about it all the time. If the woman was unfortunate enough to have lived in a country like Nigeria today, you won't even believe anybody because there are too many rogues around. There are those who will send letters to you, say, my name is John Kayochi. My father left $50 million for me and it is locked in the Central Bank of Nigeria. Advance me $500,000 and then we can split the money half-half. You've heard stories like that. We'll call it 419. Do you understand my point? It's there. I mean, I lived in Lagos. A man walked up to you on the street, tells you a long story. In fact, let's even forget that Lagos one. When I came to Enugu, I thought I left those begging practices in Lagos. One day I saw a woman, told a long story about how she came to hospital. She came to hospital from Abakiliki, and she was with her daughter. And they were now stranded. They didn't have enough money to go back home. And my friend and I, both of us walked in the hospital. We looked at each other and said, well, how much would it cost this woman to ferry herself and her daughter back to Abakiliki? We dipped our hands in our pockets and gave them enough money to go to Abakiliki. Except that the following day or 2 days later, I went to the post office. And there was this woman again who had arrived suddenly from Abakiliki and needed money to go back to Abakiliki. Of course, we see things like that all the time. So that's what the Bible meant when it said that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. Of course, I didn't give that woman money again. Of course, I wouldn't give her money. The problem is not her. She has taken my money once. The problem is next time when somebody who really has a need will appear. And I will remember the story of the Abakiliki woman. Do you get my point? And then I may not help somebody who is in need. Many of us listening to me tonight have had that kind of experience. People have deceived you. Now, there's something I want to bring up from here tonight. And that's the issue of faith walking by love. All right? Now, so this woman, a stranger walked up to her door, asked for the half of her last meal. That is, she virtually gave him what she should have eaten and maybe reserved a little for her son. And that was all. So her last meal was what this guy, this strange fellow, this stranger from Israel, her last meal, now forget, maybe she did not realize it. She may not have given to him. She had known that he was the cause of the problem. This was a guy who banished rain from falling upon this land. Now he has come asking for her last meal and she gave it to him. Ask yourself, I know you have read this story since you were a child, but the truth is that it was not natural. It wasn't. Of course, we have now adapted it these days. You say, okay, give your last meal, God will multiply it. And in my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I said, am I saying that God doesn't answer such sacrifices with such rewards of breakthrough? And my answer, I make bold to say to everybody hearing me tonight, my answer is yes, he usually does not. Let me explain what I mean. That woman's life did not start that day. We think that it started that day. Therefore, a man comes and says, give your last offering. You have never given anybody anything your whole life. Do you get my point? And that day, suddenly you need a breakthrough. You now take everything that you have and give and say, God that did it for the widow of Zarephath will do it for me also. You are a witness that God did not do it for you. We don't have to deceive ourselves. God did not do it for you. And the reason is what I'm telling you tonight. You were not walking in faith. You were walking in covetousness. You were not walking in faith. You were walking in assumption and presumptions. You were not walking in faith. You were walking in pure and arrant foolishness. The reason is because you were a selfish person from the beginning. You were a selfish person to the end. You never gave to God. You gave to yourself. A lot of us that claim we are giving to God, we are not giving to God. We are giving to ourselves. Somebody will say, I need a car, so let me go and give out 50,000 naira as an offering. You have not given to God. You have given to yourself. Because as you were giving the money, you were thinking about what you were going to get. People say that all God said is give and it shall be given to you. It is not true. God said, I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Now, that first one I read from some New American Standard. I want to read it from the New Living Translation. God said, but I know, I, the Lord, I search all hearts and examine secret motives. Now, what I'm trying to say here, I want to bring out from here is this. God examines motives. Let nobody deceive you that all that God said is just give, and that is all. No, God said, I examine the motive. Do you get my point? Paul said, if I go and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, talking about love. Don't forget, we're talking about faith, walking by love. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he said, if I give up my body to be burnt. Now, please get the point. The highest thing you can give is your body. When Satan was talking with God, and having destroyed all this property of Job, Job still did not deny God. What was it that Satan said and God agreed with? He said, a man will give anything up as long as his body is intact. Do you get the point? That is, God and Satan agreed that the most precious possession that people have is their bodies. Not their money, not their cars, not their time, but their bodies. Are you getting my point? Paul now said, if I give my most precious possession up to be burnt, that's my body, and I do not have love, or I am not motivated by love, then it profits me nothing. Do you get my point? God examines motives. I'm still talking about the widow of Zarephath, for us to understand this. Because God said, I, the Lord, I search all hearts and examine secret motives. This woman, the widow of Zarephath, remember, I've been trying to explain that her life did not start that day. We must understand that point. Because before Elijah left the brook, God already knew she existed. What am I going to say? That is, there was a work that she had before God, which Elijah was not even aware of. What just happened is that we know the principles of God, recording the whole of the Bible, and we know the way the Lord works. Therefore, we can see, God mentioned this woman by name to Elijah. I have commanded her to take care of you. You understand the point? That I have commanded this woman to take care of you. I want to put many things together because I don't have all the time to analyze it. What am I trying to explain? Elijah was not the first person that was hungry that she fed. Faith works by love. Elijah was not the first person. Listen, I make bold to say this. If Elijah had been a liar, it would have made no difference to that woman. The fact is that other people had come before and she had shared her last meals with people. The Bible says that it said he that closes his ears, all right, to the cry of the poor, he himself will cry and God will not answer. I want to turn that around. That is, the people that open their ears to the cry of the needy, when they cry, God also answers. What am I trying to explain? This woman had opened her doors to the needy in previous times. And then the day of her lack came, she cried and God answered. Listen, Elijah was not the beginning of her walk with God. Elijah marks the end of her work that produced the breakthrough. You have all studied English, or you've heard this expression in English language. They said there is a final straw that breaks the camel's back. This woman had been gathering her straw all the while. She had been doing good to people. She had been doing good to the poor. She had been doing good to the needy. She had been doing good, maybe, to prophets. And the day of her own lack, she cried to God. And from the brook, Cherith, God commanded Elijah to go there and go and sustain the life of that woman. Listen, Elijah did not really come there to have his life sustained. He came to impact a blessing into her life. Please get the point I'm going to make here. That is, why did that woman believe Elijah? I'm talking about the spirit of faith. What happened was that God caused her heart to believe because of how she had walked with God before that time. Listen, all her neighbors, like we said earlier, couldn't just come and give their last meals to Elijah. Elijah came with a specific anointing that was supposed to multiply food in that woman's house. And once he did that, it was not remaining anymore for any other person. God packaged her breakthrough. She had been working with God, and God knew how to stimulate faith in her heart to receive her breakthrough. Talking about God stimulating faith in her heart. I don't know how God did in her case. Number one thing I know for sure, which I make bold to say, was that if Elijah had eaten her food and run away, she would have just shrugged her shoulders and said, another one of them, and would have gone on. I remember those days when I was in Lagos, just to explain the point I'm trying to make. One day I was in my cousin's office, and they did plenty of business there. And a man walked in, and he told a long story, which was very common in Lagos. He told about how they stole his bag and this and this, and he now needed money to get from one place to the other. Now, if you've been to Lagos, you know these stories are 10, you know, you hear 10 of them every 5 minutes. Do you understand? I remember one day I was walking in the Ikeja. One guy began to tell a story. I stood there and I said, boy, wait, why don't you go and learn another trick? And he started laughing. I was just passing Ikeja. One guy said with a long story about money changing and this, and I just said, oh boy, slow down. Why don't you find another job? Learn another trick. The guy laughed and walked away. Now, I'm going to say that these things are all over Lagos. So this man walked into my cousin's office that day and told one long story. And when he finished, my cousin opened her bag simply, counted about 200 naira, 300 naira those days and gave to the man and said, bye-bye. I was shocked. Now, this cousin of mine was a streetwise person. She had done business in Lagos. She had lived in Lagos. She knew all these people. So it really shocked me that she believed the man's story. And as soon as the man left, I turned to her. I said, Auntie, are you not aware that that man was lying? He said, lying? I said, yes. He said, of course I knew he was lying. He said, but look at him. He's obviously very hungry. He said, look at his age. Probably has a wife at home. Probably has children. He said, I can almost bet on it. He just threw him out of his job a few weeks ago. He said, the man is poor. That's why he's lying. He said, I gave him that money to eat, not because I believed his story. Now, are you getting the point I'm making here? Listen, I have said it before, and I'd like to say it again. Most of our faiths don't work because faith does not work by selfishness. It works by love. We have learned to pray all night for our own breakthrough. We have never given a second thought to how we bless somebody else. And we are wondering why God has not yet answered. Let me say it. I know this is not popular with many people. But those who really want deliverance will believe me. You cannot give because you are in lack. It doesn't work like that. Listen, giving is a natural attribute of somebody who walks in faith and who loves people. Are you getting my point? What do your children promise before you give to them? You give to them out of a sense of responsibility and the fact that you love these kids. Whether they promise you anything in return, in fact, many of us don't even realize that there is a reward for it. We just do it anyway. Are you getting my point? And let me tell you something. A lot of parents have not lost their jobs because of their children. Not because they are responsible or because God thinks that they are the best people. But God says, as long as I'm giving this guy money, he will feed these kids. And because of that, you can't sack him. You sack him today, he gets another job tomorrow. And you get my point? I'm trying to say that there is a blessing to it. But you see, most of us who are doing it are not even aware. We just realize what our responsibilities are. And we love these people, so we do it. But you see, we have corrupted the gospel of God to mean that it is when I need that I give. Are you getting my point? But it is not like that. The fact is that you give out of love, not because you are in need.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.